FCS fans nation, welcome to FCS Sundays, The Overtime, a weekly recap show of the top 25 and the playoff eliminator. Thank you for tuning in wherever you get your FCS fans nation podcast, because we know FCS is best and where the playoffs are done right. Get into this.
FCS fans nation, welcome to The Overtime. This is a weekly show that we've created just for you guys to recap the top 25 in the FCS, how they fared this last weekend, what's their future outlook and playoff hopes look like. I am the unbiased Bison admin, Matthew Frazee. I'm actually at the helm for Overtime this week. Mr. Chris Hammond, who is way more intelligent, way more well-spoken, and honestly, just a far superior podcaster and better host than myself, is unfortunately too busy to catch the Overtime this week. So he was like, listen, Matt, you're not my first choice or my seventh or eighth, but could you possibly do the Overtime this weekend? And I said, sure, man, I'll totally take it. I figured I'd be 12th on your list, so I'm cool with ninth. Let's roll into the top 25, guys. This is FCS Fans Nation. We are the number one page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere for following FCS football. And we do this show just to give you guys a glimpse of what happened over the weekend and how this affects teams for their playoff outlook and their season. You can catch this on YouTube. If you are on YouTube, you're seeing me with my America's Team Cowboys hat. I'm sure that's making you upset. If you're listening right now on our podcast platforms, welcome to The Overtime. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. All right, let's get into it. Up on the screen, we're going to start off with number 25, Murray State. Moving on to 4-0, number 25 had just entered the poll this week. 35-13 over Tennessee State, got their fourth win on the year. This game was pretty tight going into the third quarter. It was 21-13, but Murray State continues to hold on defense, kept them at that 13 mark, and then put up 14 points in the fourth to go on for a 35-13 victory. So Murray State now playing pretty well, guys, getting some momentum going, and they literally have a chance to take that OBC spring title from Jacksonville State. They will play at home next week against Eastern Illinois, and then they'll get Austin Peay on the road. That could be a pretty tough matchup for them. And then Jacksonville State at the end, guys, that's going to be huge. Jacksonville State at Murray State, even if Murray's dropped one, that's going to be a big game. Murray's going to have the home field advantage. That should be a dogfight in the OBC. So for this week, Murray State playoff implications, obviously they're still good. Along with that, they're going to be moving up probably a few spots with Jackson State and others falling off into the top 25. So good week for the Racers. All right, guys, rolling right into number 24, Jackson State, getting their first loss this weekend. Jackson State losing to Alabama State 35-28 in a really, really close tight game. Actually was scoreless in the first quarter. Neither team was able to put anything up on the board, but that and the points really started to flow in. The big story here is probably the rushing yards that were obtained by Alabama State, especially by Ezra Gray. 195 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. So Jackson State and head coach Deion Sanders, as a Cowboys fan, I got much love for him, getting their first loss of the season, dropping to 3-1 as they lose to Alabama State 35-28. Jackson State, though, they're not in the playoff picture just because the SWAC has decided to do a conference championship game that'll be played on May 1st. Should be nationally televised. Should be a fun matchup. So in the SWAC East, if you actually looked at it, Jackson State still looking really good. They're 3-1. They're just probably going to be bounced out of the top 25 since they were number 24. One loss. They're probably going to jump back out after this weekend. This poll, guys, by the way, is the Stats Top 25 poll. So shout out to Craig Haley and all the voters. I believe there's 40 of them. They're the ones who do these polls. These are the official ones. These are the ones that matter on the national landscape. So shout out to them and all the hard work they do. And let's keep it rolling, guys. You can still see on the screen because you're smart enough. Number 23, Richmond, is our next squad. Richmond was idle this last week due to COVID-19. So they were supposed to have a game, but because of protocols, they had their game canceled against James Madison. They're actually 2-0 right now, though. That's a little bit of a surprise. So 2-0, they have wins over William & Mary and Elon, which if you've looked at how the CAA is set up, you have a big batch of teams up in the North Conference, Conference Division. And you have the Division of the South, which is basically James Madison, William Mary, Elon, and Richmond, I believe, are the four teams. So Richmond, number 23, Maybe they move one or two spots, but they were idle. They're definitely not going to drop anywhere. Their season comes down to James Madison, and that game they're going to play against them. So if they can beat JMU and win out, Richmond can have a chance at the postseason. Otherwise, pretty easy schedule. Guys, moving on to number 22. Quite a surprise team here. 3-0, University of Incarnate World. Oh, man. Good job for... Or I'm sorry, Word. I mean, they're taking over the world, but University of Incarnate Word. They beat Selah 56-45, so another huge win for Word up there. If you do not know who Cameron Ward is, you should get to know him. Cameron Ward is the quarterback for UIW, and he threw for 6 touchdown passes and rushed for another in a beating of Selah. And when I mean beating, I should say offensive beating, because giving up 45 points is no joke, but still putting up 56 is pretty impressive. My opinion on UIW is that they're a typical Southland stereotype team this year. It's really surprising to see them at 3-0. They're doing really well. They've built something really good since their program hasn't been around that long. But they're that Southland stereotype. They have all offense and kind of a suspect defense. Of their 3 wins, I'm going to rattle them off here for you. 48-20 victory, 42-20 victory, and 56-45 are their wins. So on average, if you just did some quick math, you know, they're giving up well over 23 points a game. And, you know, that's a lot of points to be giving up. That puts a lot of pressure on your offense. But credit to them, they're number 22. They probably move up a few spots here. Playoff hope still alive. They have Nichols and Sam Houston upcoming. So those are going to be huge games to see if these guys are for real or not, as Selah has kind of been on the struggle. So congrats on the big win, 3-0 UIW. Moving on up, guys, as you can see on the screen, we're rolling. Number 21, UC Davis. They absolutely slaughtered Cal Poly 73-24. Getting their second win of the season. UC Davis now sitting at 2-1 on the year. They have a win over what at the time was ranked Idaho. So that's one of their quality wins, if you will, for Cal Poly. Besides that, their one loss comes to Weber State, which they lost by 5 points. Focusing solely on this week, I mean, we expected them to slaughter Cal Poly. Cal Poly is a bad team. They're in transition. They have a new head coach. 73-24, UC Davis did exactly what you would expect them to. I can see them jumping up a few spots. UC Davis's playoff hopes still very much alive. All right, guys, moving up. If you haven't noticed that these rankings are from the week before, so we go off of the previous week's rankings and what they are right now. This doesn't mean that we project them to be this at the next spot, obviously. Number 20, New Hampshire is 0-1. They were idle this week as well. COVID-19 is hitting the CAA really hard right now. So let's look at them in the past, I guess, and looking forward. Since they didn't play this week, they'll probably be around this number 20 spot again. They are 0-1 right now, though. They had a 4-point loss against also ranked Albany, so not the worst loss in the world. Their last 2 games, though, have both been postponed due to COVID, so that's why they only have 1 game currently. They were supposed to play Delaware, and they were supposed to play this week, and it just didn't happen because COVID-19. Better safe than sorry. So next week versus Rhode Island is now actually really interesting because New Hampshire is going to be playing a team that's 2-0, and Rhode Island has won 2 overtime games against Villanova and Albany. So that should be a top 25 matchup next week. I would assume Rhode Island maybe takes one of those spots from some of these teams we've already mentioned that lost and maybe is a fringe top 25. So it'll be interesting to see how number 20 New Hampshire does next week. Not a lot to report on this week as they've been double postponed due to COVID-19. So one of the biggest surprises, guys, VMI, Virginia Military Institute, 4-0, number 19. They had a 1-point win over Samford yesterday. Very impressive as it was a clutch come down to the pressure moment game. It was a 1-point win over Samford. Udinski and the crew are 4-0 after that 1-point overtime thriller. Here's the thing. What you don't realize if you didn't watch this game, Udinski actually clutched it right at the end. Obviously, we believe he's a top-tier quarterback in the FCS. You've heard it on our previous podcast. But he had to make the overtime touchdown pass throw to actually put them 1 point behind, 37-36. And Udinski and the offense came back out, and they put it in his hands again, and he threw it right over the middle for the 2-point conversion, and VMI beat Samford by 1. Now, beating Samford by 1 is not the most impressive thing because Samford is not a great squad. But everybody has tough games, you know? So Udinski and the crew with VMI, 4-0, should see some more love. I can see them going all the way up into the 15 range, maybe 15-14, because 4-0, they're kind of that Big South team that's the team to beat. I think they're going to run the table all the way through because they play Wofford next week if they beat Wofford. So if they beat Wofford, then it's ETSU and the Citadel. And I'm not really sold that ETSU or the Citadel could trip VMI up. So VMI right now looking good to possibly run the table and get into the playoff field, no problem, obviously, as the auto bid from the Big South. So moving up, guys, we have number 18, Albany, sitting at 1-2. Albany's at the struggle bus, guys. I think Albany's out of the playoffs. I think we had higher hopes for the Great Danes at this point, but now they're 1-2 on the year because they lost in overtime to Rhode Island. Unfortunately, Albany has, just let's recap a little bit. Their only win is against Maine, and that was by 4 points, okay? And their other losses, putting them at 1-2, are ranked losses. So you're 1-2, ranked losses, 4 points against Maine for a victory. That is not a good resume early on. I will say this, they still have Delaware and Villanova left. So Albany is not completely dead in the water. I mean, you could win both those games and then maybe fringe in there into an at-large spot. I don't think they're going to be winning the CAA at this point. So right now, though, I'm going to say Albany's out of the playoff picture. They're still number 18. I see them bouncing all the way, probably maybe out of the top 25, fringe top 25 at worst. But 1-2 and no quality wins, I think Albany's season is done. So moving on, guys, into number 17, Nichols, 3-1. They were idle this week as well. Here's the thing with Nichols is they had such an explosive start offensively and defensively. But I had called it before. I believe Sam Houston was the best team in the Southland. I said it from the beginning of the season. And looking at Nichols' resume right now, we're looking at no quality wins. One of those wins of the three is a Division II win. And they beat Lamar down, which Lamar is not a good football team. And then they had a 7-point victory over Northwestern State. So if you kind of look at Nichols, you have to question yourself, all right, there's not really quality across the board because when you played your one tough opponent, Sam Houston, you got absolutely slaughtered. So for them, it's a really big game next week. It is facing UIW, who we've already talked about, Incarnate Word, and that's a game of survival. The winner of Incarnate Word and Nichols has a chance to be the second team, in my opinion, once Sam Houston finishes undefeated and auto bids. That's my prediction. I think the winner of UIW and Nichols has a chance to be a fringe last team in from the Southland into the at-large body. So Nichols season not over yet, but they were just idle this week. Number 16, guys, Sela. They lost yesterday. We've talked about them because we've already talked about Incarnate Word. They lost yesterday to number 22, Word, 56-45. Sela, you know, I think they are probably done as well. I just don't see them as high quality of a team as the other ones. They had a good year last year, but they're 2-2 right now. Both their wins are versus bad teams, and they barely beat them. Both their losses are to good teams. Losses to Sam Houston and Incarnate Word. You know, they were closer, and they were in more of a shootout fashion, but you got to put something on paper to get yourself into the field. I think Sela is out, but a win versus Nichols at the end maybe bolsters their resume, and there'd have to be a lot of chaos. So I think Sela at this point is looking at a team that's not going to auto-bid or get into the field. All right, guys. Oop, I missed scrolling up. I apologize. We're moving up to number 15, Eastern Washington, EWU. They were idle this week, so EWU didn't play. They are looking right now with a record, though, of 2-1. They've been playing pretty well in terms of who they've played. Upcoming for them, they'll kill Cal Poly. They need to beat UC Davis and Idaho, and they can be an at-large team because I think Weber State is going to auto-bid as the undefeated 6-0 team in the Big Sky. So they'll kill Cal Poly, then they have to beat UC Davis, and they have to beat Idaho, who beat them earlier, to have any shot. So moving on up, guys, Villanova at 1-1, possibly right now the most overrated team we have and was maybe in the beginning of the year besides Illinois State. Number 14 Nova was idle this week due to COVID-19. They were supposed to play Delaware. So once again, COVID-19 is not giving me a lot of stuff to talk about, guys, with these teams. But Villanova, March 27th at New Hampshire is postponed as well. So not only were they postponed this week, they're postponed next week. And their next game's not going to be till April 3rd, which is against Maine. Should be a team that they beat. But looking at Nova's current resume, they're 1-1 with a 3-point win over Stony Brook and an overtime loss to Rhode Island. There's just nothing impressive about Villanova right now. So they're going to really have to pick it up. But I think it's going to be tough for them, especially in that north division of the CAA against the Delawares of the world, to really have a shot at it. So Nova, you're fringe on your way out unless you decide to pick it up. Furman, guys, Furman was my dark horse. I know Kyler gives me a lot of crap about Furman. I think Furman's finally officially done now, even though I pick them as dark horse every year. Yesterday, they lost to Chattanooga by 2 points. 2 points right there. Now they're 3-2 on the year. They beat bad teams with close wins to Samford and ETSU, and they've lost all the good ranked teams they played. That game yesterday was crazy, too. I'm going to cover it more when I talk about Chattanooga, who's a few ranks ahead. But for Furman specifically, they've got three games left. But outside of an auto bid, they're going to be out, in my opinion. Had high hopes for them, but Furman's probably going to be out of it. And they're definitely going to drop in the top 25 poll. Delaware guys right now, they're kind of the hot team everybody sees as kind of your sexy pick. They're number 12 in last week's polls. They were idle this week because of COVID-19. I'm on repeat because of this, guys. They're 2-0 with solid wins. Their first real test was New Hampshire, but it was postponed. Here's the thing, though. They've only given up 3 points total all year defensively, which is pretty impressive. They've played Maine and Stony Brook. The offense appears to be there. Maine and Stony Brook are not good competition. But Delaware right now, without being truly tested against a good opponent, we should have seen it this week. Thanks a lot, COVID. But right now, Delaware's doing what they need to do. I can see them moving up, definitely up into maybe that UNI spot for sure. I can see them getting to number 11 or 10 after this week, and their playoff hopes are still very much alive. All right, guys, we kind of talked about this team, Chattanooga. They're at 3-1. The Mocs are killing it. They beat Furman this week. They are 3-1. That game, it started 10-0 in Chattanooga, and you're like, oh boy, things could get out of control here. Maybe they're going to put it to Furman. But the game kind of eased back into what an 11 versus 13 looked like. Actually ended up being a 2-point thriller at the end, 20-18 of your final score. The Mocs kicked a field goal for the lead, and Furman had two remaining shots. They actually go down and win that game. Unfortunately, they threw an interception while driving late in the fourth quarter. They got the ball back again, but they were strip sacked. So credit to the Mocs defense on stepping up and preventing Furman from stealing one from them. Looking at Chattanooga, guys, when I say 3-1, be aware of something. 3-1 for them is a fall loss to FBS Western Kentucky. So their one loss came from the fall when they played WKU. The impressive thing about that is that that means they're 3-0 in the committee's eyes because they don't really knock you for an FBS loss. At 3-0 in the spring, 3-0 in the Big South, and they should be favored to finish the rest of the way out really strong. All their tough games are played early. They're kind of the UND of the Big South. Their gauntlet was right in the front end. So tough games early. They should be favored in their final four matchups. Two of those are at home, two of them on the road. So I like the Mocs to keep on rolling. They're definitely the favorite there in the Big South. And congrats to that team. I don't think a lot of people, myself included, even remotely had them on the radar. So good stuff. All right, guys, moving up. UNI season is done, guys. They lost to Missouri State, who's 3-1, surprisingly now. So credit to Missouri State. You should see them at the fringe top 25 or receiving a lot of votes. 13-6 loss for the Panthers. Their season is done. Looking at their resume overall, they're 2-3. Their wins are versus bad teams, and their losses are to South Dakota State, Southern Illinois, and now 3-1 Missouri State. So you can't beat any of the good teams, and you only beat the bad ones, and they're not impressive wins. So their finishing schedule is USD and Western Illinois, who are terrible teams. You and I should win those. And then they finish at home against NDSU. Let's play a hypothetical that they beat NDSU at the end, and they're 5-3. I still don't think that gets them in. One quality win right at the end. I don't think, because we have only six at-larges, I don't think they're going to consider a three-loss Valley team with one impressive win when they only have to choose between six, unless absolute chaos erupts. So you and I, season's done. Practice up for the fall. Number 9, Kennesaw, guys. Kennesaw is all the way to 3-0. They beat the new FCS team on the block, Dixie State, 37-27, so a 10-point win. Had some more quarterback injuries in that one. Not overall an impressive win versus a new FCS team, but once again, when your QBs keep rotating because they keep breaking, it doesn't make things any easier. Kennesaw did what Kennesaw does. They only threw the ball six times. They've been known to do that with their triple option. Looking at their resume overall, they killed Division II Shorter, a 5-point win over Charleston Southern, and a 10-point win over Dixie State. You know, Kennesaw can run the table, but they're not going to sniff a seed just because they haven't looked that great against bad competition. Their next two games, they're going to beat Gardner Webb and Robert Morris, and they'll finish with Monmouth. So Monmouth hasn't played a game yet because they're only playing four games this spring. They'll play Kennesaw on April 10th, and people view them as the tough competition for Kennesaw because they were the winners of the conference last year. And so people are viewing Kennesaw as the team to beat, but we'll see how it plays out. The Gamecocks of JSU stay cocky, baby. JSU gets another victory, 21-3 over SEMO. Home field advantage, defensive battle, and JSU comes out on top as JSU holds SEMO to like less than 30 rushing yards. Very impressive win for the Gamecocks. They just find a way to win in all, you know, all areas, whether they have to put up the points, 27, 38 points, or they just need to win on defense. They're getting it done this year so far. And this year means this fall as well, as this will put their record at 7-1 because Jacksonville State played four games in the fall. A FBS win included on those four games against Florida International. Their only loss, that one, comes to Florida State, a Power 5 opponent, which was actually a close game going into the third quarter. So Jacksonville State stays on its trajectory of, in my opinion, a seed. It could get interesting if like Sam Houston's undefeated, they're undefeated, Weber, JMU, and a Valley team. It's going to be interesting to see who's left out. I would guess it's not Jacksonville State, though, because Jacksonville State is going to have 10 wins, an FBS win. My prediction is that they do win out. We'll see what happens with Murray State at the end, as I said previously in the episode. But Jacksonville State, Murray State at the end is going to be the big one, guys. As JSU with Eastern Illinois and Austin Peay coming up, Austin's playing some better football. But I think Jacksonville State and Murray State ultimately are going to be facing each other at an undefeated point at the end, April 11th. And it's going to be a fun matchup. So stay cocky. Well done, Jacksonville State. You should move up a few spots in the poll. Playoff implications, still good. All right, now we have number 7, Sam Houston. My boys, beginning of the year, I pick Sam Houston to win the Southland and be the best team down there and could be a top team in the FCS. So proud of my prediction so far because they had such good defense last year, returning head coach, returning quarterback who's not injured. Yeah, I've said this on the Normal Podcast a million times. I don't need to repeat myself, but I am proud of this one. They are 3-0. And they had a slaughter yesterday as they killed Lamar 62-7. They have ranked wins over Sela and Nichols right now. So you can make your points about how past performance in playoffs all you want with Sam Houston. This team is good. It's dang good. And they're definitely going to jump up into above SIU at least. So their remaining schedule guys, Northwestern State and McNeese are next. Those are going to be easy wins. And they finished the fight against UIW. So Incarnate Word and Sam Houston could be that final game for maybe who wins the Southland. I'm going to pick Sam Houston right now. Just think they're the better squad because they got the better defense. They got the more balanced team. So well done, Bearcats. You guys are going to see yourself in the top 6 next week. And your playoff hopes, no problem. You're fighting for seeds now. Number 6. South Dakota State slaughtered number 5 SIU. Southern Illinois, who beat NDSU, who beat UNI, who had a pretty competitive game with UND on the road. SDSU slaughtered them 44-3. They're now 4-1. Their only loss is at UND for South Dakota State. I've been arguing they're the most balanced team in the FCS because I just think both their lines are good. I think their quarterback play with Gronowski is really impressive. But they're confusing, man. South Dakota State is really confusing because listen to their resume and schedules. They have a 24-20 win at UNI, lost to UND 28-17. They kill Western Illinois 45-10, barely beat Youngstown 19-17 at home, and then slaughter number 5 SIU 44-3 on the road. Like, that is like back and forth confusing. It's just South Dakota State is blowing my mind, but Pierre Strong did not play yesterday, and SDSU did what SIU normally does to teams. Held the ball the whole game, ran the ball all game. Gronowski only threw the ball 11 times. So there you go. SDSU is looking good. They're going to beat ISU and USD, who's remaining on their schedule. At NDSU determines it. It's going to determine the Valley, too, at this point. Because, you know, if SDSU beats NDSU, they're looking good to auto bid, or at least tie that auto bid tiebreaker situation with UND if UND wins out as well. So SDSU in good shape. They're definitely going to move up into the top 5 as we move on to our number 5 team, SIU. They got killed by number 6 South Dakota State. I'm basically going to make the exact same points because these guys are next to each other. What happened to them is what they normally do to teams. They hold the ball, they run the ball, they stop the run, they play hard-nosed defense, and they got the treatment of themselves from South Dakota State. 131 yards rushing for the Salukis. That's super low on average for them. So looking at the Salukis now, they're 4-2 total. They beat SEMO in the fall. That's why they have the extra win. They are going to move down in the rankings, guys, but they still have that NDSU big win and a 1-point win over UNI. That's their highest quality wins at this point. So if SIU wins out, which we'll see what happens with Missouri State, who's now 3-1. If they beat Missouri State and a bad ISU and a bad Western Illinois, they will get an at-large at 7-2. So unless the Valley goes crazy and they somehow get the auto bid, which at this point now is not going to happen, they will get an at-large at 7-2 if they win out. So other teams should be cheering against SIU if you're going to be on the block. Number four, guys, NDSU. Number two, UND. Number four, NDSU. Big game this weekend. NDSU crushing UND 34-13. Very impressive stuff. NDSU, if you count the UCA game in the fall, which by the rules they do, even though I don't agree with it, they're now 5-1. So the thing with NDSU, though, this is their first quality win of the spring season. Their three wins prior to this, they weren't overly impressive, and they were against bad teams. So NDSU needed this win for sure, and they just own the lines on both sides of the ball. Offense and defensive lines, NDSU absolutely manhandled UND. It wasn't even close. Holy moly, fullback number 44, Hunter Lukey. Man, 190 yards and three touchdowns for NDSU. He's this big power back that maybe is going to give them a spark on offense. NDSU, 300-plus rushing yards total, when UND had only given up on average around 85 a game. So, I mean, this was just, it was like walking into a wood chipper for UND. It was not pretty. Zeb Nolan took the rest of the reps as NDSU continues to have some quarterback struggles because we believe Cam Miller bummed his wrist up a little bit in the second half. So we'll see if the quarterback issues can get resolved. But for now, NDSU is going to move up into the top three. Don't see them jumping a Weber JMU at this point. Speaking of Weber, guys, let's move into them for number three. I'll scroll up my screen here so you can see the final ones. Weber State, they were idle this week. So far, Weber is just on that six-game schedule for the Big Sky. They just had a normal bye week, no COVID stuff. They beat ranked UC Davis. That was their one hurdle. That was the prior game, and they won by 5 points. Besides that, guys, Weber's going to kill their last four opponents. They're going to beat Northern Arizona, Southern Utah, Idaho State, and Cal Poly. They're going to beat all four of them. They're going to be 6-0, and they'll be a top four seed in the playoffs. Could be 1, 2, 3, or 4, depending on how the Valley and CAA play out, and a team like Jacksonville State, who will have a good resume. But Weber State, for sure, going to be a top four seed. Not going to lose those games. I have the utmost confidence in that. Wildcats, we'll see what they do next week. Easy win, in my opinion. Moving into number two, guys, UND. We just talked about them because just like SIU, SDSU, they're close to each other of their opponent. They lost to number four NDSU 34-13. First loss of the spring, so now they're 4-1. UND has been criticized for not being able to win on the road, but being able to win at home in the past few years seems to hold true. Even against Western Illinois the week prior, they didn't look great on the road, but they pulled off the victory. Here's a huge positive for UND and UND fans, though. You've played your gauntlet. And who at this point was ever going to predict that UND was going to be even remotely close to the record they have, which is 4-1? I don't think anybody was predicting that. So congrats to UND. You played the tougher part of your schedule. Now your remaining schedule looks like you could finish 7-1. Youngstown, Missouri State, and Illinois State are your final opponents. So Missouri State's the toughest game right there, and it's at home, which benefits UND. The other two games are on the road. If UND finishes 7-1 and NDSU trips up again, they can win the Valley because I'm guessing that NDSU trip up comes to SDSU, and then UNI is able, and then UND is able to be 7-1, SDSU 7-1, and UNI had beat SDSU. So if you're a Fighting Hawks fan and you think your world's falling apart, there's plenty of positives left. Nobody predicted you'd be 4-1 through these first five games. So you've done the tough stuff. Now just finish off with these last three wins. And last one, guys, number one, JMU. They're idle this week. COVID-19 issues postponing two games in a row with them. They beat Robert Morris in the past, 36-16. Beat Elon by 3. Not impressive stuff by James Madison so far, but they've just won the games they're supposed to. Cole Johnson clearly wasn't the guy at quarterback for them. We've heard that Gage Maloney's going to be the guy moving forward. Jamie Williams, Duke Dog, D-Law have a lot of confidence in him. James Madison fans in general have more confidence in Maloney than they ever did in Cole Johnson. So if the quarterback play starts going there, watch out. JMU's defense still looks vicious and tough. They missed playing William and Mary and Richmond games these last 2 weeks because of COVID. And their next two opponents are William Mary and Richmond because of that crazy CAA scheduling. So JMU, you can argue it all you want. They're going to stay at the number one seed with the CAA, with the stats stuff, with the stats voters. And that's fine. You know, you can't punish them for trying to be safe and stuff like that. So JMU, they're going to end the season with Elon as well, which was a close game earlier on, with JMU only winning by 3. All right, guys, that is your top 25 recap in the overtime on FCS Fans Nation. Thank you so much for listening. I know it was probably way more annoying not having Chris Hammond and his logic and his beautiful voice and his outstanding mannerisms, but you got stuck with the unbiased Bison Am and Matthew Frazee. Guys, thank you for listening to this, whether it's a morning, afternoon, or evening. Make sure you subscribe, like our podcast and the YouTube channel, and make sure that you join FCS Fans Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'd love to have you guys be part of the discussion. The best place to talk FCS football. Our other podcast will be dropping later on this week. Besides that, guys, Matt Frazee signing off. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the week, guys. Boom.